people have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this blessing us on this afternoon and blessing us with this amazing horse.
Gentlemen, open up your mouths and sing. It is a manly thing to sing. This is the church going to war, and you may sing as the army of Christ.
But I would rather have my eyes plucked out. I'd rather be imprisoned rather than deny this. Jesus lives, and he's the only God. And I'd rather die a martyr than be thought well of by a tolerant world and go to hell.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
So what are we to make of this rather mysterious occurrence in the life of the patriarch Jacob? He is asleep. And not unlike his predecessor, his grandfather Abraham, he receives a divine revelation in the form of a dream. Now, Abraham's were more straightforward. When he had a revelation in the form of a dream, God spoke directly to him, told him in kind of propositional statements what it was all about. This one is a little different. Jacob's dream, his famous ladder reaching from earth all the way up to the dwelling place of God, it's a little more mysterious. We know how Jacob interprets it, at least basically. How should we understand it? Should we expect similar revelations? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us again. We are going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jacob's Dream, in Genesis chapter 27 and 28. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll talk about shopping for a school, whether it's elementary, junior high, high school, or college. Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago, will walk us through it step by step. What's important, what's not important, what not to do when you're thinking about the best education for your kids. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., part two of our four-part series on teaching eternal truth today, the Apostles' Creed, part one, with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jacob's dream in Genesis chapter 27, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
No, thank you.
So I think one of the natural questions that Sunday school kids might be asking when they hear about Jacob's dream is, should they expect to hear messages from God in their dreams?
I would say they've already heard a message from God, and some of them were dreaming. What I'm referring to is, of course, how many times have we baptized infants who are asleep during the baptism? And after they are awake and as they grow older, we remind them of what God was talking to them about. And in fact, it's very close to what Jacob heard from God in his dream. Namely, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, some of the children, even if they're awake, they hear those words, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're adopted into the family of God. And so I would say that God even speaks to them and has spoken to them. If you have Sunday school children who have been baptized, and you can also use the opportunity to get other children baptized. Now, we all have dreams. I frankly like nightmares. Why do I like nightmares? because when I wake up and I know they're not true, I'm real happy. But there are occasions when I have gone to sleep and maybe I had a Bible verse on my mind or a sermon about to preach, and maybe a new idea comes to me. I'm not saying that God was speaking to me specifically, but a lot of times I keep a paper and pen by my bed so that when I wake up, I write it down. Because I find out if I go back to sleep, when I wake up, I won't remember what I had said. So God no longer comes to us in dreams in the sense of giving us new information, but we can hear God speaking to us every time we read the Bible, or particularly when we attend divine worship. And we're going to see as we look at this story that really happened, how divine worship is akin to this dream of Jacob.
So where are we in Jacob's life when he has this dream?
We just finished with Jacob, in a sense, receiving the birthright that Esau should have gotten because he was the older son, but he had sold the birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob and his mother ended up deceitfully lying to Isaac, and they were therefore deceiving him, thinking that he was giving a blessing to Esau when he was really giving a blessing to Jacob. Now, Esau got real angry when he found out about this, and he swore he was going to kill Jacob as soon as his father had died, about 1 week after the mourning. Rebekah heard that, and so she lied again to Isaac by saying, you know, we sure don't want Jacob to marry one of these Hittite or Canaanite women. Send him back to my brother, Laban, and have him get a wife there. And so that's what Isaac did. He gave Jacob a blessing and send him back. But the reason was Rebekah thought that perhaps Esau's anger would dwindle away so that when Jacob returned, that he would not kill him. And that's where we're at on this journey. Jacob has left his family, is returning to where Rebekah had come from, and he lies down at sleep one night, and this dream occurs.
So what is the content of the dream? It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes. It's simple in the sense that the first thing he sees was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, I've used this imagery in talking to certain individuals about how do we get to heaven? Well, what does this ladder say? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say something along the lines, well, when I see that ladder, I need to start climbing the rungs. And I say, oh, what are the steps you take to climb? And they'll say, well, I invite Christ into my heart. I stop sinning. I do a lot of better good works and this sort of thing. There is nothing in this dream where Jacob is climbing the ladder. Instead, the angels of God are going up and down on the ladder. And then we see the greatest sign of the ladder. After the angels are ascending and descending, the Lord, and by the way, the word Lord in the English is all in capitals, so this is God himself, stood above it and said, and guess what? He gives the same appellation to himself that he does to Moses on Mount Sinai. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And guess what? This is the angel of the Lord speaking, who is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So at the top of the ladder, is the Messiah, Jesus, and he gives promises to Jacob, which are quite similar to the promises that Isaac had given to Jacob in Genesis 28, verses 3 and 4, that God gives to Jacob in 28, 13, and 15, and of course, very similar to the promises God made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and Genesis 13.
So is this just a repetition of the same promise? Is this the promise being passed down first to Abraham, we presume then in a kind of an unspoken way through Isaac, now to Jacob?
Yes, I would kind of agree with that summary you made, because in Genesis 12, verse 7, to your offspring, the Lord says to Abraham, I will give this land. In Genesis 13, all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. And in Genesis 13, 17, arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, and I will give it to you. And then in Genesis 17, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Now, when we take a look at the promise that Isaac made to Jacob, this is where he thought he was talking to Esau. He says, God Almighty bless you, that you may become a company of peoples. So there's the promise of a great nation. And it goes on, may he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. And that, of course, is again a promise of the land. Now, in this Genesis 28, God is speaking to Jacob, and he says, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And then the second part of the promise is also there. And to you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, we need to make a really important point here. It's Genesis 22, verse 18. Where God says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, the word offspring in the English, you can't tell if it's singular or plural. But guess what? In the Hebrew, it's a third person singular. What does that mean? It is the offspring referring to one person. And that is explained to us in Galatians 3, verse 16. When Paul is writing to the Galatians, and chapter 3 is the best chapter in the whole Bible on the distinctions between law and gospel, here's what he says, here's what Paul reveals. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. The word seed is capitalized, it's a singular. And then Paul even explains it better. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. This is a beautiful example of how Scripture interprets Scripture. We may have a lot of writers in the Bible, but we have only one author. And therefore, Jacob receives the same promises, although they're stated a little differently, from God in this dream that were given to Abraham and that were also given from Isaac to Jacob when he thought he was giving the blessing to Esau.
Jacob wakes from the dream, and his take on it, having heard all that the Lord said there in that dream, is that the Lord had been there, present in that place. That's an interesting conclusion for him to draw. He views this as far more than merely a dream.
Yes, because he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So I would say the same thing when we do a baptism, which is done very many Sundays in our churches, that this becomes the gate to heaven. I've often said that the ceiling of every church should have clouds above it and a dove. Because what happened at Jesus' baptism, where the dove alights upon Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, and enters him, the same thing happens in baptism, according to Peter, when he says at the Pentecost sermon, when you are baptized, you receive two gifts, the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so even though we don't see the Holy Spirit descending, we in the Christian church should have the same attitude that Jacob had there and say, surely the Lord is in this place. This is the house of God. And that's why divine worship is so very, very important.
The last thing that he does before he leaves the place is he takes the stone upon which he had laid his head as a pillow. He sets it up, pours oil on top of it, and he renames the place Bethel, or House of God. And he makes a vow. Talk about that.
The vow he made, prior to this time, the place was called Luz, L-U-Z, but he renames it Bethel. And here's the vow. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all this that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you, a kind of a tithe. So what he is saying is, this is a dangerous journey he is on. And of course, in the next lessons, he reaches his place. He ends up marrying two women, returning to the brother who promised to kill him, but does not. And this is another way, another sign that he is recognizing that the Lord, and that's the name for God, Yahweh, shall be my God. That's the important point to get across to the Sunday school children, that Jesus will never leave them. He will always be their brother, and therefore his promises will be true throughout their entire life.
So then, finally, what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children in this story of Jacob's dream with about 30 seconds?
Yes, I really like what the Growing in Christ summarizes. The law, I sin when I think God does not care for me or has left me alone. And that was Jacob, away from his family on a dangerous journey. The gospel, God promises in his word never to leave me. His gracious love for me, revealed through his son Jesus, moves my heart to worship and praise him. And that's what we hope the Sunday school children continue to do, not only in Sunday school, but also in divine worship.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find out more about that at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about how to shop for a school, be it elementary, junior high, high school, or even college. Dr. Thomas Korchak will be our guest.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.